To say right there off the bat, Diesel, so I just kept my mouth shut.
It's called being prepared, Sturge.
You pulled up to the desk there and put your mouth right in front of me. I was like, uh-oh, you're getting ready to share who you just got to interview a few minutes ago, because I'm surrounded by greatness today.
Oh, yeah, it was kind of fun. Yeah. I interviewed Sonny Sandoval, the lead singer of POD,
who
I've been a big fan of since I was in high school.
Yeah, I've been a fan of theirs too, but you came in and you were like, that's pretty cool, because there's weird stuff going on all over the place today. It's a Wednesday, right before I came in here. Yeah, hit the men's room, and there was a meeting going on in the men's room between two people. I'm talking about what needed to be done for WORD. I was just like, wow, this is just kind of one of those weird days.
Since we've already started the show off on a high note, can I share something with you that I found online today, Serge?
Which website, which app did it come from?
It came from Twitter, which doesn't help much.
Okay, no, as long as it didn't come from Tinder.
But No. I want to get your thoughts on some of these. PETA, an organization that we all know and love, does great work. PETA has sent out a list of anti-animal slangs, slang terminologies that they want to change. And can I throw some of these at you and see if you can guess what they want you to use in return?
Well, hold on. Number one on that list, I have no idea what you're talking about. I haven't seen it, but something tells me no longer are we supposed to come up with the phrase beat a dead horse.
That's true. So what do you think?
But that horse is dead. Can't you kind of do what you want to with it at that point?
No. See if you can guess what phrase they want you to use instead of beat a dead horse.
Scratch a live puppy.
No, they want you to use feed a fed horse, which doesn't make any sense, because that kind of gluttony seems borderline abusive. If you think about it, if something's already fed and you force it to eat more, it's going to get uncomfortable, maybe have
fat,
a tummy ache.
Yeah.
Get fat and have a tummy ache.
I mean, it could be like Sheldon on when he ate too many Brussels sprouts that time on the Big Bang Theory and let a big fart. You know what I mean?
So. So going on with the next one, instead of using the phrase kill two birds with one stone, and in all of these, they try to make it sound like the original phrase, so that'll give you a little hint. What do they want you to say besides kill two birds with one stone?
Feed two birds with a bag of birdseed.
Feed two birds with one scone.
Yeah, because I think of I think of muffins, donuts, and scones when it comes to the holidays and the pigeon and everything.
Instead of the classic phrase "bringing home the bacon," what phrase would they want you to use?
Something bacon.
Bringing home the bagels. They want you to use
But now,
bagels.
Wait a second. Don't you have to kill a live plant to make bagels and get the...
Well, PETA only cares about animals. They don't care about plants.
All right.
Okay, instead of taking the bull by the horns, what phrase would they like you to use?
Storms?
Take the flower by the thorns.
Do you see why we've been on the... All right, you started this.
And the last one... One more? This one is a little bit of a... this one's a curveball for you, because it doesn't follow exactly that rule of trying to make it sound like the original phrase. But instead of be the guinea pig, what do they want you to use?
Something dig.
They want you to be the test tube.
Okay. See, the wussification of America continues.
Thank you, PETA.
All right, how about this one? We picked on Harvard the other day. Right? Because
they deserve it.
Well, yeah, they have now decided that they will go penalize their own students that are paying a buttload of money in student loans and everything else that are members of single sex organizations on campus, like fraternities,
sororities, and everything else.
Think
about the possibility, Sturge. You could join a sorority and live in the sorority house with a bunch of beautiful ladies.
Like, I want that happen with a daughter about going to college. But the other thing is, all right, you want to talk about the wussification of America, especially the Ivy League schools up north. Did you see what the Princeton Men's Ensemble has decided? Yeah, that's their a cappella singing group that goes around touring. They used to sing the song Kiss the Girl from the Little Mermaid. Now they feel uncomfortable singing that song.
Aww. So what are they going to sing, Mo Bamba?
I have no clue. But if you are too butthurt to seeing Kiss the Girl from The Little Mermaid, I can't help you, and you dadgum sure aren't working for me in the future because you're going to get a lot more butthurt than that.
I know. I can tell you that you've heard Mo Bamba before, and I don't even know the artist who sings Mo Bamba. I just know that's the name of the song. They play it a lot at college football games. Kids love it. But it's fun to watch older guys and older ladies, I'm sure, as well, get really upset and butthurt over this song when that's the generation that invited Gary Glitter into all of our homes. Hey, rock and roll. Yeah. Come on.
All right. So we've lost control right here already. Here's what's coming up
on the
show.
Phone lines are lit
today.
Up. People wanting to call in and talk about PETA now.
844-G. And you can. We have a wide open first hour if you've got something to say about the wussification of America. Because, quite frankly,
keep it sports related.
We will. But I also have one other thing, not necessarily sports related, but it is. Because the man played baseball at Yale, and his son ended up being one of the owners of the Texas Rangers. But did you catch any of the service today for former President Bush?
I saw a little bit on TV last night as he was sitting in state.
Yep. You know what the legacy is for that man? It's not the fact that he was a president. It's not the fact that he was a fighter pilot in World War II. It's the fact that his sons loved him, man. I'm telling you, if that could be said about me when I take my last breath on the face of this earth from my child, I'll consider my life a win, and I'm not worried about AP slandering me the other day on the headline. And so that was very cool today. I really appreciated five different living presidents, or, you know, President Carter and President Bush, and not to mention Obama and Clinton. It was a good day, and we need more of that in this very, very high testy world. All right, before we go to the phone lines, real quickly, a couple of basketball notes. Clemson improves to 6-2 on the year with a tough 65-60 win over a very game St. Peter's Peacocks team. The issue for the Tigers, they're going to a neutral site game in New Jersey to face Mississippi State. Ben Hallen squad. I have not seen the injury of what the result of Marquise Reed was. He limped off the court last night, and there was some concern. Also, Furman gets a 98-77 win over Elon. The Paladins are now 9-0 on the season. They had five players scoring double figures last night. They have their 15th consecutive regular season win, and Diesel, I don't know if you saw our friend Mike Buddy, the athletic director at Furman's tweet. He's like, sign me up for that. They were literally the Furman Paladins, one of the lead stories in the A block last night on ESPN SportsCenter. I'm talking Scott Van Pelt doing a very in-depth thing.
Shout out to Furman.
Hey, Dan Scott.
Love all that publicity.
The voice of the Furman Paladins, Dan Scott, who we have on this show, who I used to work with. Some of his calls featured in there from the night that Jordan Lyons made 15 three-pointers, tying an NCAA record. So, listen, it is awesome when a school like that gets a ton of publicity, and when you get it in the A block as they did on ESPN last night, man, you can't write a check for that. Two other basketball notes before we go to Tyler on the phone. Wofford played Kansas very tough out in Fog Allen Fieldhouse in Lawrence, Kansas, but Kansas pulled away at the end, and it looked like a lot more impressive performance for the Jayhawks at 72-47, but it was close there before Kansas goes on a run at the end of the game, and the Terriers fall to 6-3 on the season. One other news and note when it comes to basketball tonight at 9 p.m. The South Carolina Gamecocks are at the Wyoming Cowboys out in Laramie. The Gamecocks are 4-3 on the season. Wyoming's 2-6. But one of those things to watch out there is altitude, and you better have a deep bench. And that hasn't necessarily been the case for the Gamecocks, but they are a 4.5-point favorite on the road tonight. Tyler, let's get you in on the wussification of America before we get rolling today, because I'm sorry. I really want to go apply to Princeton right now just so I can sing the song Kiss the Girl. You know what I mean?
Right, and drop a few comments as well while you're there. But yeah, I was going to say, you know, it's funny to see it now catch up in the college world, but it seems like, you know, this took place in the – I saw it recently here in the business world just within management to where, you know, race and gender and all that obviously is becoming such a huge deal. And I think college football is following suit, and, you know, colleges, period, are following suit really closely to business right now. But it's just it was to the point. I mean, I don't know if you remember a while back when Target just got absolutely mauled for the transgender bathroom thing. I was working for a company that had the same policy as them, and we had to actually shut our Facebook accounts down nationwide just because of the backlash. But you see, the transgender issue, it's causing a lot of stir. You see, I think it was a funny clip on Facebook going around right now, too, where, you know, a lot of these lobbyists are wanting to get rid of the word man and being used in cities and things like that. It's just getting crazy, getting out of hand.
Well, I also saw there was some college where the freshmen are petitioning to change the name of the class to freshmores instead of freshmen. I've heard first year I can sort of get behind a little bit more, but they don't want freshmen to be
butthurt over something, in my opinion, at 50 years old, Tyler. You know what I mean? So I'm with you on that one, and the wussification's going on. And here's the deal. Whether you like it or not, there's winners and losers every day in life, and most of that is dictated on how much effort you put into the task in front of you. That is called human will. You may want to take all this identification away, but you can't kill the human spirit. But what you're doing is the older generation is laughing at this because there are men and women, and guess what? Unless you put those two together, you can't make another generation. You know what I mean?
Well, I just want to ask this one question, Sturge, going back to the phrases that PETA doesn't want you to use. If you can't say being a guinea pig, how would you change the phrase flogging the dolphin?
Dude, don't go that route right now, because SeaWorld and everything else is under attack as well. Also, don't look at my Christmas card.
We need this to be a sports show again. So
I know,
bad.
But don't look at my Christmas card that you're going to be getting. Why? The middle picture on it's from the Dolphin Experience in Honduras, you know? I'd pay to go do it again next year.
Well, we just so happen to have a Ken Griffey Jr. stand-up in the studio who's missing an upper torso. Yep. Why not reclaim that photo, chop Sturge off at the waist, and put that on top of Ken Griffey Jr.'s body?
All right. Well, when we come back, a lot of big announcements coming down from Clemson football. Christian Wilkins, what a night he had last night. Also, we know where Kelly Bryant has landed when it comes to the where he will play his football next year. Also, the SEC Awards. We'll talk with Dave Kane, the voice of the Virginia Cavaliers, at the top of the 5 p.m. hour. At 5:37, it's our Hank's 12-pack of knowledge contest. It's true, false, and it's football questions. My God, you got a 50-50 chance of getting it right. At 6 p.m., it's Edward Egros, the sports anchor for Fox News 4 in Dallas, ahead of the Cotton Bowl between Clemson and Notre Dame. Also, a report on the Cowboys. All that coming ahead. It's open phones, 844-GSB-ESPN. So, the regular season minus the Army-Navy game on Saturday is now over. Bowl games begin a week from Saturday on December 15th. And at this point of the year, it is the college football postseason award time. A lot of awards will go down tomorrow night in Atlanta at the College Football Hall of Fame with the Home Depot College Football Awards Show. But one that went down last night, and he is Christian Wilkins from Clemson University. And basically what he won last night is known as the Academic Heisman Trophy. He was the 29th recipient of the William V. Campbell Trophy. The award, sometimes known as the Academic Heisman, recognizes combined academic success, football performance, and community leadership. Wilkins received a 24-inch, 25-pound bronze trophy and a $25,000 $1,000 postgraduate scholarship. He's already graduated with over a 3.3 in communication studies. He has already done student teacher. He will receive his master's degree from Clemson later this month. And on top of it, he's a better football player than anything else. That's well-rounded individual. And that's what you want. And those are the guys that are going to resonate just as hard in the living rooms with mom and dad in the future years as anything else going on. Not only can you go to Clemson and compete in the highest levels of college football, Diesel, but you can also go win the academic Heisman and have the rest of your life right there in front of you. So a lot of great things for Christian Wilkins coming ahead. And this might end up being, now that I know about it, my favorite award, because a total of $241,000 was awarded Tuesday. Not only the $25,000 to Christian Wilkins, but the 12 other top scholar athletes. So that's an award that keeps on giving, if you know what I mean. Number one, you get to sit there and look at it, but it also, it's going to be a big difference in the rest of your life as well. Let's go back to the phone lines. Delvin wanting to talk college football. Delvin, hope you're having a good afternoon.
I'm doing great. First of all, y'all talking about the Peter and stuff. See, I be the guy that be antagonizing and messing with him, because I was saying, I said in front of his face, I was like, you know what? Some screen reason, I just like to beat a dead horse today. I just say stuff like that, just mess with him. No, they be like, no, you need to feed a dead horse. I was like, nah, I just like to be, then they say, feed a fed horse, like you said. I said, don't you think that's wrong too, Peter, because you're making them fat and stuffy, and they can die like that from heart attacks and stuff like that? I just do stuff like that just to mess with them.
Yeah, the reality is, Delvin, is everybody thinks they have a voice, or they do have a voice. And you know what? They can be as butthurt as they want to, go out there and put this stupidity out there. And act like, this is why we got to filter through crap to get to what's real in 2018.
Yeah. As far as college football goes, I agree with you about the I agree with you about the awards and stuff. Like, that's great. A recruiting tool to say, look, you can be an academic. You can go to school for sports and academics. And look, Chris Wilkins did it. Even look what Hunter Ruffo did with the walk-on award. Mm-hmm. So you work your butt off, and you know it pays off.
Yep. And, you know, a whole lot of other Clemson Tigers up for awards here as well. Thanks, Delvin. Appreciate it. And, you know, the reality, Diesel, is when you got to this point, you know, because it's the monster feeding itself. But what I mean is, you get to go out there and take a close look. You don't have to throw the scholarship offer out there with the guy that you don't think can handle it in the classroom. Other schools need that athlete to kind of get from point A to point B. When you get to where Alabama, when you get to where Clemson, even Oklahoma and Georgia are, you can be a whole lot more selective about that student athlete, because the SEC postseason awards came out earlier today. The offensive player of the year was Tua Tagovailoa from Alabama. The defensive player of the year was Josh Allen from Kentucky. The coach of the year was Mark Stoops from Kentucky. But a couple of other, like the Jacobs Blocking Award went to an Alabama guy. All three Bama postseason award winners this year, not a single one of them from the state of Alabama. And that's the same thing you can kind of talk about with Clemson football right now. They're from, I think, their scholarship commitments for this upcoming class hail from 13 different states. So that helps you in the long run. Now, were you surprised at all last night? And he had to keep pushing it back because obviously the news of the day in college football wasn't Scott Satterfield on the podium at Louisville. And we're going to tell Diesel in the next segment how a lot of that went down in him choosing Louisville. But Diesel, Urban Meyer walking away from Ohio State was obviously the storyline of the day, and it went deep. That's why Kelly Bryant, the former Clemson quarterback, kept pushing his announcement back, and it finally came down last night. You know, we know that he met with Gus Malzahn earlier in the day yesterday. We know that Jarrett Stidham, the transfer Baylor quarterback that went to Auburn and played 2 years, has announced that he's going to the NFL, and it just felt like Auburn was going to be the place because they got that last meeting in yesterday. Were you surprised when Kelly Bryant put out the Instagram and Twitter message last night? He will be playing his senior year of football for the University of Missouri Tigers.
That's what I don't get. I mean, yeah, you're still in the SEC, but why would you not want to choose the highest profile opportunity you could?
Well, does it have the fact that now some people have Drew Locke, the quarterback at Missouri, listed as a top 10 potential pick? So obviously Drew Locke got some pretty good quarterback coaching as well as head coaching from Barry Odom over there. So the fact that he has now flown so high up the board, do you think that played into it? Or something that we will talk about, Auburn, thank you. The Auburn football situation right now, Diesel, is the epitome of days of our lives in college football. You want to talk about a group of people that can't get out of their own way right now? It is unbelievable.
I guarantee you that has a lot to do with it.
I think maybe that had, but he's only there for 1 year. Gus Malzahn's not going anywhere right now. I kind of think that somehow, some way, he saw the tutelage that at Missouri that has gotten Drew Locke the respect and the thinking that he might be a top 10 quarterback drafted next year. He thinks that that's going to help his passing game. But, you know, you're talking about an 8-4 team right now, a big, you know, remember 3 years ago, Missouri had that nasty situation go on campus between students and the administration, and it caused a fall in the enrollment and things like that. Even at 8-4, people are asking, should Barry Odom get a year extension on his contract? But if you looked at games this year, that stadium not more than about half to two-thirds full. So maybe Kelly Bryant can change that. I know the first SEC game that he will play next year for the Missouri Tigers will be hosting the South Carolina Gamecocks on September 21st. So I can get why not North Carolina, but I was stunned. I thought this had Auburn written all over it because Gus Malzahn, you know, his best years have come with that true dual threat quarterback. And of course, that's what I think Kelly Bryant is. So, you know, in his career, you know, last year he threw for 2,800 yards, 13 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. And he also rushed for 665 yards. So this year he had thrown for 456 yards, 2 touchdowns, while rushing for 144 yards and 2 more scores through 4 games. But he will continue his career under Barry Odom out at the University of Missouri. So, again, a lot of different things going on, including – congratulations to our Greenville Swamp Rabbits last night. They won their third consecutive game. They get a late goal and a 2-1 win at the North Charleston Coliseum over the South Carolina Stingrays. So you're talking about a team that has now gotten themselves 3 points out of a tie for third place in the ECHL Southern Division. So what comes up next? Friday night, they're down in Fort Myers, Florida, taking on the Florida Everblades in a back-to-back game matchup Friday and Saturday night. Then they're off next week. They'll come home for next Friday and Saturday against the same Florida Everblades team. But here's what you want to mark down next Friday. It is the merriest time of December being a hockey fan here in the upstate. It is the teddy bear toss. So what they are asking you to do is bring a teddy bear or two to the game in between the first and second period. You can come down and chunk those teddy bears on the ice, and they will gather them up and make sure they end up in the hands of some child that needs something for Christmas this year. So next Friday, December 14th, the Greenville Swamp Rabbits hosting the Florida Everblades and, of course, the Teddy Bear Toss. All right, when we come back, Scott Satterfield, the new head coach at Louisville. Turns out there might have been a couple of things we should have been paying attention to, which we would have known that he was ready to leave Appalachian State, and what he had to say about taking the Louisville job as well. And we're going to get into the plays that kind of determine the college football season in 2018 as well. Dave Kane, the voice of the Virginia Cavaliers, at the top of the 5 p.m. hour. Edward Egros, the sports anchor for Fox News 4 in Dallas, at the top of the 6. So, Diesel, how closely had you been paying attention to some of the Scott Satterfield stuff that went down in the last year or so?
You mean the conversation about him moving on to other opportunities?
No, some moves that he had made as far as who he signed with, as far as his agent is
concerned. Oh, with Jimmy Sexton? Yeah, yeah. I'd heard that a while back. Yeah.
So this is how it came down.
And you don't hire Jimmy Sexton unless you're trying to move on.
Well, that's exactly.
Because that's what he does.
That's
to make
exactly
money.
What he said in this. He said about Jimmy Sexton, he said that was sort of the first giveaway that he was looking to move on to something bigger. Here's how it went down. Once Jeff Braun was turned down Louisville, last Saturday, Louisville reached out to Jimmy Sexton, and, of course, Sexton started talking about some of his other guys, and the athletic director at Louisville, Vince Tyra, said no. I'm not asking about those other guys. I'm asking about Scott Satterfield at App State. Well, they ended up putting a meeting together on Sunday morning where David Tyra, the athletic director, flew down to Boone, North Carolina and met with the Satterfield family. Well, he said Sunday's meeting lasted a few hours, and halfway through it, he realized he had heard enough that he had found his next head coach. And he said what impressed him, quote, probably halfway through the meeting, it wasn't like immediate. But he's a soft-spoken guy, and he's humble, so you've got to almost drag it out of him. I challenged him on, how did you accomplish these things? But when he got into the intangibles, as much as the tangible stuff, it became pretty clear, and I felt myself in the end starting to sell the University of Louisville, knowing this was the guy that we really wanted. Well, on Sunday, that was Sunday morning. Later on Sunday afternoon, Satterfield flew up to New York with his wife for a National Football Foundation festivity. He said, we check into the hotel about 4 p.m. I got a phone call that evening from Vince offering me the job. I said, okay, we're in New York. I need to meet with my team. The Satterfields found a flight back at 9:55 Monday night, landed in Charlotte around midnight, and then made it home to their Boone, North Carolina house at 2:30 in the morning. Five hours later, Satterfield told his Appalachian State players he was leaving, and around noon, he boarded a jet for Louisville. While Satterfield said it was emotional to leave his alma mater, career ambitions had to do with his interest in the Louisville job, which was perhaps telegraphed by his hiring of coaching super agent Jimmy Sexton before this past season.
Yeah, we all knew it was coming when he hired Jimmy Sexton. The question is, was it going to be this year or next year?
Yep.
And the hope was, and there's a lot of App State fans who are upset about this. I get it. I understand it. It feels to me sort of like, you know, the conversation regarding players not playing their bowl games so they can prepare.
Which list continues to grow.
So they can prepare for the combine. Scott Satterfield had said multiple times that he wanted to stay in Boone while his kids were in high school. And that's 3 years. Now, we also know, because I believe his youngest daughter was a sophomore, or so at least two more years. So I think a lot of App State fans took him at his word and said, hey, you're going to stick around for three more years. But we also understand, we also know that the coaching industry, it's all a matter of striking while the iron is hot. If your name is hot, you got to take the opportunity now because you don't know. All it takes is your star quarterback going down, and then all of a sudden, you know, the team that you expected to go 10-2 is now all of a sudden 6-6.
Yep.
You know, that's all it takes. And sometimes it's things that are out of your control. And all of a sudden, your name is not the hot name anymore because you went from a 10-win team to a 6-win team in 1 year. Nobody bothers to check why that happened. They just know that it happened. And boom, you've just lost yourself generational money.
Well, I also think at this point, what, four consecutive championships in the Sun Belt since coming over, some of them shared this year outright with winning the Sun Belt championship game over Louisiana.
Three, I believe. But
all
yeah.
Right. So, point, what else can you do? What else can you do? Next year, if you finish second, guess what? You didn't finish first. So, there's not much more that you can accomplish at App State other than get them into a undefeated season and end the conversation with UCF, and that may or may not ever happen.
Yeah, and I think, again, a lot of App State fans were focusing on the fact that next season you're returning
right.
Such a good football team. You've got both North and South Carolina on the schedule in the same year. So the opportunity there was North Carolina is down. South Carolina is not as down, but they didn't have the spectacular season that they thought. And all of a sudden you had App State fans thinking, oh, my God, it's possible. We go undefeated and knock off two Power Fives.
Yep.
So that is actually setting yourself up in a nice way.
However, if it doesn't happen.
But if it doesn't happen, then again, your star falls and you're not being contacted by as many opportunities.
Well, I think, while it hurts a little bit and it stings, you also got to just tip your hat to the man, when it comes to Scott Satterfield at App State in his career, tip your visor to the man and say you left us in better shape than you inherited the program, and thank you very much. Now, the pieces are set for somebody to come in and just keep this thing rolling. You got a sophomore quarterback and a lot of talent in return. And as you said the other night, at this point, just don't screw it up, because we have another coaching hire in college football. University of Maryland last night announced that Alabama offensive coordinator Mike Locksley will be the next head coach of the Maryland Terrapins. He was chosen over Maryland interim head coach and offensive coordinator Matt Canada, as well as Michigan's quarterback coach and passing game coordinator Pep Hamilton. This is what Locksley had to say in a statement. I am thrilled to be returning home and to have an opportunity to lead the Maryland football program. This has always been a special place for me and my family, and I'm honored to take on this role at the state's flagship institution. Our goal is to create an atmosphere and an environment focused on the total development of our student athletes. Our focus will always be to help them become more successful in all areas of their life through their association with our program. Interestingly enough, you are just getting rid of a coach with abuse allegations that manifested in a 19-year-old offensive lineman, Jordan McNair, passing away, Diesel. Well, you went and hired a coach. Now, granted, is there a better deal right now in college football than the Nick Saban rehabilitation program? This is the third year in a row Nick Saban will be replacing his offensive coordinator. 3 years ago, it was Lane Kiffin. And, of course, Steve Sarkisian took over for one game before he went to the Atlanta Falcons. Last year, it was Brian Daboll. This year, it's Mike Locksley. He's only had one head coaching stint, and granted, it was New Mexico, and he was 2-26. But during that time at New Mexico, Diesel, I don't know if you remember, but he got in a little trouble for punching one of his assistant coaches, as well as some other things. Kind of interesting. That's the hire Maryland makes after getting rid of a coach that had some abuse issues, to say the least. Now, he has rehabilitated himself in Tuscaloosa, but I kind of found that to be a little bit weird that you hired a coach that has two different past accusations against him to replace a coach that we know the accusations that were against him.
So how long before Bobby Petrino joins the Alabama staff?
Well, who all right now? Let's see. Bobby Petrino is probably making a call to Nick Saban. Could Hugh Freeze maybe now be interested in that job? Because we've seen that there. Butch Jones is on. I mean, it is absolutely incredible. But to the thing is that not risky? Because he's from that area of the country, Mike Locksley. But just because it feels like, just because you've rubbed elbows with Nick Saban right now, let's give you a shot to go run our program.
I want to ask you about this one. I think Delvin brought this up on the show yesterday, but we didn't get into it as much. But this one affects us because it's just up the road at UNC Charlotte. They hire Will Healy from Austin Peay, who was 11-18 in his three seasons at Austin Peay. They went 5-6 last year, 3-5 in conference, but he was named the FCS Coach of the Year, and UNC Charlotte hires them away. What are you thinking about that hire?
The fact that Austin Peay plays non-scholarship football, so that means if you're going to play football at Austin Peay, you're doing it on Pell Grants and student loans. You know what I mean? You're not getting scholarship to do it. You're kind of playing at that level with one arm tied behind your back. That's okay. Like, to me, the story of the weekend obviously, this past weekend was obviously Jalen Hurts, right? You know, on the same field against the same team that he lost his job last year, he comes in and saves Bama's bacon there in the fourth quarter, all right? To me, that's the storyline of college football this past weekend. The one that nobody talks about is Iowa State scheduled a 12th game of the season because they had one rained out earlier this year, and they did it with fellow in-state FCS non-scholarship program Drake. And we're thinking, wow, this is going to be a 70-0 drubbing. Iowa State had to score in the third quarter to win the game 27-24. So when you see those non-scholarship programs taking it to a Power 5 program like that, it's one thing. But just to think they got to do it week in, week out, even against the FCS brethren. Kind of an interesting hire. We'll come back. We'll take phone calls at 844-GSP-ESPN. A whole lot more coming your way. All right, welcome back in. Let's get to the phone lines. Harold and Bulldog Brock. Harold wants to talk Kelly Bryant. Hope you're having a good afternoon, my friend.
Doing fine, Mark. I hadn't spoke to you in years. Yeah. This is your first year on the radio station up here. Anyway, listen, I'm going to get the first out of the way. Notre Dame, I can't stand there in there because they don't play a conference championship game. And I think Ohio State should be in there instead of them. On to Kelly Bryant. He wants to showcase his talent. I think you picked the best conference. That's the SEC, the toughest. Now, who would you rather compete against on your conference games, the West or the East? The West is a whole lot stronger than the East.
Yeah, with Alabama in it. However, Harold, for the first time in like 7 or 8 years, and I'm sure Bulldog Brock can also, I think the East actually won the number of games over the SEC West this year. But, yeah, most years the West has been better, but this year's the first time that turned. And, of course, you're going to get two matchups against SEC West teams, yeah, you know, in the interdivisional part. So,
I think that's got a lot to do with it, though. You know, as far as the competition, you know, who wants to go up against Alabama, LSU, Auburn, Mississippi State? You know, year after year, they're a strong defensive team. Now, you got Georgia? I'm gonna put Georgia as the top one in the SEC. Well, Florida, I think Florida's a joke this year. They shouldn't be a top 10 team. And then you got the rest of us, even my Gamecocks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, last year, Bryant Kelly, 56-7 over the Gamecocks, see?
Yeah, I think he also looked at how far Drew Locke is going up the board in the projected NFL draft and goes, wow, he got some good quarterback coaching there at Missouri. Maybe the same thing can rub off on me.
Okay, Mark, I just want to get that off my chest. Enjoy your show, man.
Thank you, buddy. It's great to hear from you. All right, let's go back to the phones. Bulldog Brock, have you been able to recuperate yet?
I'm still having a hard time, guys. First of all, listen, I want to say congratulations to you, buddy. I can't tell you how painful it is to yet again not be able to finish a ball game. I tell you, I don't know what's worse, getting to the second tier with Mark Rick year in and year out and not even sniffing the championship, or getting this close 2 out of 3 years with Kirby Smart and it being this painful losing when you should win. So I tell you, it's tough.
Yeah, Brock, really the tough. Reality is you guys have now entered the rarefied air where it's college football playoff or bust.
Yeah, and I tell you, Kirby Smart has done a great job so far, and some folks are saying that he's a year ahead of schedule. Hey, I can't wait to see what the next few years hold for the Dogs, but I'm going to tell you something. I heard someone on ESPN earlier last week say something about this is what the SEC does when they have a championship game in the conferences. They're screwing themselves. Well, the bottom line issue is Georgia did not help themselves by losing in the middle of the season to LSU. Had they not lost, they would have been in a much different shape at the end of the year. But listen, I'll hang up. Thank you guys so much for a great show. And, hey, there's always next year.
Absolutely, man. I get it. A buddy of mine that graduated from Georgia texted me. Now, he is a New England Patriots. He grew up in Boston. He's a Patriots and Red Sox fan. He's like, I'm really growing to hate your alma mater, Alabama. I went, guess what? Now you know how people feel about the Patriots and the Red Sox as well. Let's get one more before the top of the hour. Ken wants to talk Kelly Bryant. Ken, welcome in.
Hey, guys. You doing okay?
Man, we're fantastic. Hope you're having a good Wednesday.
Pretty good. I'm not sure I was really surprised what Kelly Bryant did. I think the situation at Auburn is kind of volatile.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get into that in the final hour. It is days of our lives going on down there right now.
Yeah. There's a good chance that Malzahn might not make it through the season next year. I don't know if Kelly wanted to get in the middle of that. Plus, I think Missouri's got some pretty good talent coming back next year. And Odom, to me, has shown that he coaches pretty well. Their team out there, they don't get a lot of support. But for the last couple of years, they finished strong for the last 2 years.
Yeah, and you think about it, they go 8-4 this year, and it's South Carolina not limited them to field goals. Had Missouri scored touchdowns, then they're 9-3. You know what I mean? They've already made two appearances in an SEC championship game. So there's a lot of upside. Their big problem, Ken, is their administration has let major dysfunction creep into their campus, not just their athletic program, their entire campus.
Yeah, well, I don't have much knowledge about stuff like that. I really don't. I'm just looking at it from a football standpoint. And talking about the South Carolina game with Missouri, I mean, that was – and I'm a Gamecock fan. That's more of a game that Missouri lost than we won, to be honest with you. They shot themselves in the foot so many times.
They did, but was South Carolina winning that game with the backup quarterback in Skarnecchia? You know, that's where I feel like it evens out because South Carolina, stayed in it. But, you know, it's going to be interesting because when I watch Drew Locke, man, he's just got this release and how the ball comes out, and I can see why offensive coordinators and GMs at the NFL level are really excited about him.
Yeah. And one comment, your earlier caller talked about Kelly beating the Gamecocks 56-7. Kelly was not the quarterback on that team. Deshaun Watson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it wasn't as bad the next year. But, you know, the reality is, and thank you for the phone call. We're up against the break. He gets to stay a Tiger. You know what I mean? He didn't have to learn to, for 1 year, to you know, hear things differently, and, you know, could have been Auburn, it could have been Missouri. But, yes, you are right on it. The final hour, we are getting into what's going on at Auburn because a buddy of mine that covers the Auburn Tigers, he is all over it today. And you know what? We haven't heard. We hear Georgia Tech offered the job to offensive coordinator Ken Wisenant of the San Diego Chargers. I go make another run at Gus Malzahn right now if he hasn't accepted it, just due to the fact that Auburn is hamstringing him and trying to run him out the door. All right, here's the deal. When we come back, we'll give you our first Belt Bowl preview. We'll talk with our friend Dave Kane. He is the voice of the Virginia Cavaliers. And, of course, that game's set for Charlotte later this month at the top of the 6 p.m. hour. It's our buddy Edward Egros from Fox Sports 4 out in Dallas, as he'll talk about the Cotton Bowl and the Cowboys. And, of course, at 5:37, it's this week's 12-pack of knowledge contest by Hank's Beverages. It's football questions, and they're all true false.